expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Klink Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I am online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. If you don't follow me on Twitter, I am so close to another big milestone number of followers. So head to Twitter. I am at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. That's actually where we post all of our news feed anyway from the ThinkGlink world community, whatever you want to call it. So much happening this week. Glad you're here to join us for it. Lots and lots of housing news, real estate news, business news. It's kind of crazy. And, of course, we'll start with the Dow, which flirted with 13,000 this week. Ended up for the week at 33 points at 12,982. Did touch 13,000. And it is the, I think near or at the post-financial crisis high, which is sort of amazing. I think the bailout for Greece kind of propelled everything a little bit this week. We saw a marathon meeting of Eurozone ministers, which produced a $172 billion rescue package for Greece. Of course, it's the second rescue package for Greece in less than 2 years, and nobody has any idea if this is actually going to stand. I sort of think it probably won't, and there will be more of this. But anyway, the deal calls for private bondholders to write down their Greek debt by 74%. And it also calls for stark austerity measures to cut Athens' debt to 120% of GDP by 2020, which has already sent, the cutting that they've done has sent Greece into a tailspin. So I think their economy is looking to be down about 6% this quarter. They're heading into a very, very serious and scary recession. I guess they're kind of already there. And nobody's really excited about the way this came down. The quote by Commerzbank's chief said, quote, "The participation in the haircut is as voluntary as a confession during the Spanish Inquisition." In other words, take it or we're letting Greece default, and it'll be messy, and you won't like it. But the American stock market seemed to like it, and the American stock market, like President Obama's proposed cutting of the corporate tax rate to 28% from 35%. So that was good. Meanwhile, gas went up. Did anybody notice that they were paying a whole lot more for gas this week? So Sam filled up the Honda minivan. When did he fill it up? I don't know. It was like last week at 3:41, let's say. And we drove around last night, and he said, look at this. It's all 3.85 again. It somehow, gas prices went up 30, 40 cents in a week, which is really crazy. Even though Brent crude is soaring, and the national price is $3.65, you know, in Chicago it's a little bit more expensive than that. So that was kind of crazy. But we are seeing, you know, the stock market holding at these highs. Apple said that we are going to be wowed, minds blown, by their next products that they're going to be bringing out. These will be the last of the generation of whatever Steve Jobs created before he died or oversaw, and they've got a whole bunch of products in the pipeline. They also said that Apple has too much cash, and the stock is now worth like $500 a share. So anybody who bought it when it was $145, or even better, when it was $15, good for you. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK is our number. So now that we've kind of done the numbers, and there are more numbers to talk about, right? We saw unemployment, first-time unemployment claims hold at this four-year low, which was great. Really good news. Coming up in a couple of, I think another week or so, we're going to get the February unemployment numbers. And we'll start to see what those look like. New construction numbers were out this week. Awful. I mean, awful. Really, really awful. I have to pull them up for you because we were looking at them, and I thought, you know, this is just exactly why everything is so terrifying, right? Because when you look at the number of new homes sold, it was something like about, on an annualized rate of something like 300,000, maybe 307,000, which is like even worse than last year, which was worse than the year before, which was worse than the year before. And we've never come out of a recession, never come out of a recession without having housing being a strong piece of that. But everybody's been wrong about when housing is coming out. And it's interesting, even Warren Buffett in his annual shareholder letter, right, which is such a really sort of significant thing, right, the shareholder letter, it was published on Saturday, and he said he was, quote, dead wrong with a prediction that the U.S. housing market would begin to recover by now, but he remains optimistic. He said that housing will recover eventually and help bring down the nation's unemployment rate, but this time he did not predict when that would happen. He said the housing remains in a depression of its own, which we've talked about in the show a lot, but he predicted that the housing market will come back because human factors can't be denied forever. So here's a quote from his annual shareholder letter. People may postpone hitching up during uncertain times, but eventually hormones take over, he wrote. And while doubling up may be the initial reaction of some during a recession, living with in-laws can quickly lose its allure. So in other words, you're going to get sick of living with your parents or your spouse's parents, and you're going to want to strike out and live on your own, and that's why housing is going to come back. And I think he is right. We're also seeing some other things, though, drive it beyond living with your parents or your in-laws, and that is the number of single households being formed is up on a tear. It's really sort of interesting. That number continues to go up, and we're seeing, and it's new household formation in that, you know, you have single parents going out there, you have individuals going out here, you delay pushing out marriage, and so you need individual housing for a lot longer period of time. It's sort of interesting. A friend of mine who's a frequent contributor to the blog, Dick LaPre, said, he's based in San Francisco, he's a mortgage guy, and he's been on the show before, although I don't know if any time recently. And he said the housing market is so pathetic. Now, remember, he's based in San Francisco, that it has zero effects on mortgage rates. There's a $1.5 trillion in excess banking reserves, so it's not as if lenders are cash poor. Rates are up. Mortgage interest rates were up a little bit this week, like a fraction, like nothing. But they were up on fixed-rate securities because of the concern over Greece has abated. And he was talking about how new home sales were down slightly, which I just said, and the National Association of Realtor data on existing sales showed a gain only because the previous month was revised downward. So looking like we're not really seeing a whole bunch of sales. Although my mother, who's a real estate agent in Chicago, this is sort of interesting. We were at the opera last night. It's like a big family thing. We went to see Showboat. She said that her firm had their best month in 5 years. February was their best month in 5 years. It's not even quite over yet, but she said, or maybe it was January, but she said it was like everything sort of opened up for them. She said, even I did a deal. My mother used to be one of the top agents in Chicago, which I thought was sort of funny. But anyway, there are a lot of interesting things happening out there, but in terms of real estate, I'm not quite sure that it's going in exactly the right direction. 404-872-0750. Want to weigh in? Give us a call. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lines are open. We'd be happy to take your calls today. Mike joins us on the line from Stockbridge. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. I love your show.
Thank you.
I used to work for the city, and I left, and I had a deferred comp with them. And then when I left, I had just rolled it into an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I haven't paid any taxes on that money at all. But right now I'm finding I need some of that money. And I just wanted to ask you what I would have to expect if I took any of it out of there.
So with deferred comp and rolling money into an IRA, when you take it out, it's as if you earned that income this year.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you over the age of 59?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You sound very young on the radio.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. So what would happen is, let's just say you have $100,000 in there and you want to take out $20,000. So you take out $20,000 and it's as if you earned $20,000 in income added on to whatever you've actually earned this year. So you would pay state and federal income taxes at your new marginal tax rate. So if you were in the 25% bracket, but getting this extra $20,000 in income boosts you up a little bit, so say the 28% bracket, on the marginal income, you would pay 28% federal and whatever it is in state.
Mm. Well, I understand I wouldn't have to pay any penalties. Is that right?
Correct, because you are over the age of 59 and a half. So you don't have to pay the 10% penalty. You just would be able to access that cash. What do you need the cash for?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm needing another car. I want to take about $10,000 out and just buy me a used car. But see, I mean, I could go and borrow the money, but I just figure with this, I wouldn't have no payments or nothing.
Well, I love that you don't want to have payments, and as long as you've got enough money in there, I think that's fine. But with your $10,000, you could probably expect to pay another $2,500 in tax the following year.
Oh, seriously?
That's 25% tax bracket. Now, maybe it won't be that much. Are you earning anything this year?
Yes, ma'am. I'm working. I just I just retired, but I'm working full time now.
Okay. So one of the things that you could do is you could adjust your withholdings, right?
Oh, I see.
So instead of having to worry about a $2,500 hit that you have to pay the IRS, you could just pay a little bit more every month, and it would cover the amount that you would owe the following April 15th.
That so is you great won't. Idea.
Well, why wouldn't you? You know, it's a great. It's nice to be able to spread out the pain, right? So you're not even noticing it because, $2,500 would be about $100 a paycheck. And if you could adjust your withholding, come next April 15th, you probably won't owe anything at all.
Well, actually, I've already had to do that because, like I said, I'm drawing a pension plus I'm working. So I really had to, step up my federal and everything and keep them had to pay anything. But you're saying I could do even more and not have to pay that $2,500.
Right. You should go talk to the folks who are in the Human Resources Department and talk to them about what you're withholding and if you could do some voluntary withholding.
Right.
And then the other thing is if you are collecting sort of retirement and you're working full time, maybe there's a way for you to just borrow the money from your 401k that you have at your company.
Well, I can do that, but I always thought that was a bad idea because if I ever left, I'd have to pay that back immediately.
Right, but here's what I'm suggesting. You're not spending that much money, and yet you've got income coming in, working full time, and you've got retirement money. So you know that you could always take it out of your IRA to repay it if you needed to, right?
Oh, I see. Right.
So you can.
Yeah.
So this is just money in different pots. So maybe what you can do is, let's say you're going to borrow $10,000 to buy that car, and let's say over the next year you want to pay that off to yourself, and you borrow it. So you just adjust your. You just have money taken directly out of your paycheck to pay off the amount that you've borrowed, and then you don't have to worry about the taxes.
That's a great idea.
So I think you've got a lot of options. You know, compared to a lot of the people I talk to, Mike, you've got options, all kinds of options that are going to make this work for you pretty well. And what's really nice is that they're so palatable. None of them are nervous, crazy, last minute kinds of things. They're just it's just sort of easy, and you got a lot of different things you can think about. Let me know what you decide to do. It's 21 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Kling Show. 404-872-0750. If we may be of service, lines are wide open here on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
26 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Kling Show. Mortgage fees are rising. We'll talk about that coming up after the news. In the meantime, Larry joins us on the line from Canton. Hey, Larry.
Hey, ladies. Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
I love your show. Don't always get to listen to it, toiling in the yard,
Oh, well, thank you. You can always listen, stick it on your iPad or something, or your iPod in your pocket.
Absolutely. So we're looking at refinancing, and I've got a good faith estimate from one of the top 10 banks that I got around end of November, beginning of December. And we're actually moving to execute right now. We've got a property that's going to appraise around 390 that we owe 225 on.
Nice.
Got a rental property that'll appraise at about 160 that we owe 118 on.
Okay.
So trying to cash out and pay off the rental, we're looking at a good faith estimate of a $300,000 loan at 3.5%, and we got about $8,000 worth of closing costs in there.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about looking at a credit union because I can do that online.
Okay, I think a credit union's a great idea. Of the $8,000, how much of that is title? How much of that is prepaid interest? You know,
it's about half and half.
So prepaid interest is something you pay anyway, and you can adjust that simply by closing the last day of the month?
Yep.
Title fees and some of the other fees you're going to pay, definitely. So you just have to decide how long it's going to take you with the savings to pay them off. And if it's 12 to 18 months, go for it, because you're going to have these properties for a long period of time. If it's going to take you 30 to 40 to 50 months, you really have to stay there a while. But it sounds to me, if it's really about $3,000 to $4,000 of real closing costs, that's not too bad. I would still go to a credit union and a couple of other places to see if you can cut that back even further. That would be what you'd want to do, is try and get it down, even if you traded slightly for interest rate. So 3.75%, but you're only down to $2,000 in closing costs. There's a nice trade-off there as well. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Klink. We'll be right back with more about that rising mortgage fee story next on News Talk WSB.
Expert advice anytime at thinklink.com, and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
37 minutes past the hour on Sunday morning. I'm Elise Klink. Thanks for listening to the Elise Klink Show on News Talk WSB. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. The website, thinklink.com, thinklink.com. So we have mortgage rates near record lows, right? Pretty unbelievable. The 30-year fixed rate mortgage has averaged 3.95%. Wow. For this week, according to Freddie Mac's weekly survey, and yet fees are going up. And when we look at mortgage interest rates, there tends to be a focus on the interest rate, right? That's the easy thing. It's like, oh, I have 3.9%, I have 3.25%, I have 8%, right? But the other really significant part is, what are the fees that you're paying for that mortgage interest rate? So we were just on the phone with Larry, who was talking about how he got a quote for a $300,000 loan at 3.5% with $8,000 of closing costs. Some of that is prepaid interest, right? And he wants to know if he should shop around. Well, the answer is, of course, yes, you should shop around. But the truth is, fees are going up. And they're going up because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are broke. They owe the government almost $200 billion, which, frankly, they could go back to their most profitable year and then have that year going forward for the next 20 years, and I don't think they'd come close to paying off $200 billion. So Fannie and Freddie are in conservatorship, which is like what would be bankruptcy, except we couldn't let them go to bankruptcy. And we have to figure out what to do with them. And there were some ideas that got pushed forward this week that I thought were pretty mediocre, but more on that later. Anyway, so Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac need to raise more money. FHA is broke. I mean, FHA, seriously, is going to run through its funds probably in the next year with all the foreclosures, and FHA is now securing even more loans. Those fees are going up, and revenue has to be raised. There's a huge budget deficit, right? Somebody's got to pay for it, and nobody wants to pay for it, but this is one way that's going to get paid. So the guaranteed fees that lenders pay to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac for securitizing loans is going to rise by 0.1 percentage point on April 1st. That is a cost that will get passed through to borrowers through interest rates that are about 0.8 percentage point higher. So I don't know if you caught that math, but Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to pay an extra 0.1%, and you will pay an extra 0.8%, a little profit padding on top of that. And that fee was part of the payroll tax cut deal that was reached in December. Now, lenders have already factored in those higher fees. And that's because it's going to take them a while to resell to Fannie and Freddie. And so by then, April 1st will have already kicked in. But mortgage insurance premiums for FHA loans are going to rise by another 0.1 percentage point on April 1st. That's about $200 more a year for mortgage insurance on a $200,000 FHA mortgage. Premiums are going to go up another 0.25 point for mortgages greater than $625,500, affecting borrowers in markets like California. there could be another cost when you file your taxes next year in 2013 for 2012. That's because 2011 is the last year borrowers can deduct mortgage insurance they paid either through a private insurance company or through the FHA. That's going to be pretty pricey. You will see that that deduction going away is going to cost people some money. So what else is rising? We've seen the initiation costs for FHA go up. We're seeing other kinds of costs go up. And lenders are actually making more money on the loan origination side because they're finding more opportunities to build in fees, right? So mortgage the interest rates go down, but the fees have had to go up in order to keep cash in the mortgage marketplace, right? So what have you got? Origination fees, processing fees, doc prep fees. Any fee that the lender is charging as opposed to a third-party fee, which is title, insurance, and appraisal, those are set costs the lender doesn't control. Although they do price those higher for more profit. Now, many of these fees are negotiable because what is an origination fee, right? Let's say you pay at one point. What's an origination fee? Well, the cost to originate the loan. Well, if the lender doesn't originate the loan, there is no loan. What's a processing fee? You know, why do you have to pay separately for processing? What are doc prep fees? How are those different from the processing fees? So all these fees, $200 here, $300 here, $400 here, all of those add up to real money, to where you're with Larry and you've got $8,000 of closing costs. So what can you do to sort of limit the junk fees? Well, one thing that you're going to want to do is shop around, because even though Fannie, Freddie, and FHA are now approving 93-ish percent of all loans that are out there, they're very competitive with each other. And maybe they've never been this competitive. I don't know. It's a pretty competitive time. So talk to a local lender. Talk to a regional bank. Talk to a credit union. Talk to another credit union. Talk to a big national lender. Try and figure out how you can get through with the fewest amount of fees. Now, just be careful, because many lenders will today say to you, well, you don't want to pay fees? Fine, let's do a no-cost refinance. But instead of getting 3.9%, you might get 4.5%. Now, 4.5% is still like a historically amazing rate, but it's not 3.95 or 3.25. So you can trade interest rate for fees any day of the week. You just have to be careful that you understand what you're doing, and a lot of people just aren't. On my website at thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com, if you just type in the search engine buyer's closing cost or seller's closing cost, you can even put it in quotes if you want. What will pop up is some stories that I've written about the 30-odd different kinds of closing costs that you might expect to see turn up on a HUD-1, and what a general range of cost is, along with some tips on what you might do about that. And hopefully that'll be helpful to you as you go along. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station if you'd like to call in. We've got some lines open. Meantime, let's go to the phones. Dave joins us on the line. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Elise. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am very well. I'm hoping you might have some advice for me. I'm trying to take advantage of some of these great rates and have a quote and a good faith on 2.75 for a 10-year.
Wow, and that's amazing.
Yeah, and very excited to get this thing going. The problem I'm running into is it's currently stalled in underwriting. Everything seems to be moving along except for I'm consolidating two loans, a first and a HELOC.
Mm-hmm.
And the underwriter is looking for a draw history on the HELOC. Now, they're outside of the initial draw, there is none.
Okay.
But it's pulling teeth trying to get the current HELOC holder to give that information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got it stalled out. So, other than just calling and being relentless in that regard, is there anything I can do? I mean, are they obligated to provide that history? Will the underwriter at some point say, okay, I don't need it?
The underwriter might. Is there any way that you can prove that there was just the initial draw. For example, do you have your closing papers from that loan where that was funded to a bank account? Did you write one check? Was it a check, that kind of a thing where you had a checkbook and you wrote a check?
No, never even got a checkbook with the HELOC. It was I did a 80-15-5 on the initial purchase, and the HELOC funded the 15, basically.
Okay. You say basically, but what do you mean by that? Did it fund it, or there was more?
No, that's it. That initial 15% of the purchase was all the HELOC was ever used for.
Okay, so do you have papers? Do you have your statements that you can just take to, turn into
I've
a PDF and send?
I've already provided them the HUD statements from closing, provided a year's worth of statements going back from the current day. And at some point, the HELOC even closed to new draws, and it shows that there is no outstanding credit allowance on the HELOC. I don't have statements for the past 7 years that would prove that there's not been any other draws.
So it seems sort of silly that they are requiring this when you've sort of proved where the money went. And you have the closing documents for it, and it shows, I'm sure you've sent them your HUD one, so it showed them exactly where the money went.
Absolutely.
And is it paid off now?
The HELOC?
Yeah.
No, it's still open. I want to pay it off as part of this. Consolidating the two loans into the current one.
So I think you have to talk to your lender and push them a little bit. This is the kind of stuff people are running into left and right with underwriting. It's just, it's crazy. I mean, there's nothing else to really say about it.
The last time I did a loan was in the heyday of we'll give a loan to anybody, and so the documentation they're requiring now compared to the last time is pretty amazing.
Right. Well, I would keep calling the HELOC lender and trying getting them to play ball, and then I would hammer home to the current lender through your loan officer that there's just nothing else to see. They saw the initial money. They see what's left. There's clearly not been anything else.
Okay.
The other thing you could do is just request copies of your statement from the last 7 years from the HELOC lender. But it sounds like they're just overwhelmed anyway.
Yeah. They every phone call is to a new different department, and it's a zoo there.
I mean, you could take the extreme step of suing them in small claims court if you really wanted to get their attention. But I kind of think you're not in the place to do that just yet.
No.
Let me give you a little bit of a resource, though, just in case. You could call the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance.
Okay.
And your lender has to be licensed and registered through them to do business in the state of Georgia. You can call them. I think the number is 770-986-1633.
You can call them.
Georgia Department of Banking and Finance. You can call them and say, I'm having this trouble. The lender is not responding to us. Is there any way, the HELOC lender, is there any way that you can help encourage them to do what they're supposed to be doing? Because they're not behaving in the right way.
I'm facing a lock on that great rate that is expiring in about 2 weeks. So I want to make sure that I don't let that thing slip away.
No, that would be great. And then I would just basically start calling your lender every day saying, you sure you really need this? Because I can't imagine what else you're going to see. There's been no other money. Now, you could show them in your bank account that there's been no deposit from that account over the last 7 years.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So you can call and offer that. I'm not sure where the money would have gone, but here are my bank accounts for the last 7 years. It shows you we don't have any deposits from them. There's nothing going on. What else do you need? And I'm not sure even why it matters, except that lenders have gotten so completely crazy that they've lost all sight of reality, which is just like, really? Are you serious?
And what's kind of interesting is initially I thought this was going to be a breeze because they accepted my stated value on the home, which that sort of surprised me. They did that with the drive-by appraisal and said, okay, yeah, it's worth that. So I thought things were going to just go real easy, and I wasn't expecting this hang up.
Well, it's a great lesson for everybody else listening, so I'm so glad you called in today, Dave, because I think everybody thinks that it's just going to be no big deal. And, in fact, what's happening is it is a really big deal, and when you're going through it, the strangest little things kind of step in and just make it really, really difficult. Something that should be easy just isn't anymore. 50 minutes past the hour. Don't forget to pick up your Sunday Atlanta Journal-Constitution. There's an investigative report that examines proposed legislation aimed to reshape Georgia's approach to criminal sentences and, of course, the state's $1 billion prison budget. 10 before the hour on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB. She's real fun.
Expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink. Thanks for listening today. Our number 404-872-0750. If we can be of some help, feel free to give us a call. Joe joins us on the line from Brazelton. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Elise. How are you this morning?
I'm fantastic. What about you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you. I think I have a good problem to have, but I'm looking for some pros and cons. I've been through the process of attempting to refinance my home. I have not taken advantage of lower rates as yet, and seems to be quite the hassle. I'm trying to eliminate, number one, the hassle, number two, the fees that you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering, is it worth it to just simply pay it off? And is that going to create a huge tax liability for me when I no longer have that interest to deduct?
Well, first of all, the deductibility issue, I think, is going away anyway. My sense is pretty soon, fewer and fewer people are going to be able to deduct anything related to their house. So I wouldn't base any of my decisions on that. Let's talk about, though, paying off your loan. Do you have the cash wherewithal to just sort of pay it off?
Yes, it would. It would put a bit of a dent in my cash, of course. But I pay my entire mortgage 100% out of a military retirement check.
Okay,
it doesn't cut into my normal income.
Mm-hmm.
I max out all available savings plans. Do the catch up for over 50.
Yeah, great.
Max out for my wife and contribute then into other vehicles. So financially, other than taking that hit on my savings account, really wouldn't hurt me. It wouldn't take long, I don't think, to build it back up.
So here's the thing you want to think about. We just had Dave trying to get and close on a 10-year 2.75% loan.
Yes, ma'am.
If you could pay 2.75% for 10 years, but you've got a place where you'll eventually be able to get 5 or 6% on your money, that's why people in your situation would still take out a mortgage. Like, I could pay off my loan, but my interest rate's like 3.25%. It doesn't make sense for me to pay off my loan.
Yes.
I'm paying very little interest as it is. So then the question is, well, where do you want to put the money? And what are you going to do with it? So I think that's the question you have to ask yourself, right? What do you want to do with the cash, and what could you do with it, and what could you reasonably expect? Now, right now, nobody's getting very much on their cash, but there may be another investment. If you'd invested your money in Apple stock, for example, or Google stock, you know, you'd be, like, in amazing shape. So I think what you want to do is kind of look at your bigger financial picture, which sounds like you've done a great job, by the way, Joe. Congratulations on it. Take a look and say, is there any other thing that I might want to do with that cash? Is there any kind of investment I want to make? Is there a big trip? Do I have a wedding to pay for? Whatever else is coming up. And then just kind of decide, because you could always just pay off this loan at 2.75%. And in the meantime, it's 10 years. It goes very quickly. Maybe that's a good move. So I think that's the question you want to ask yourself. 59 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
In the sky, looks like I've lost the love I've never felt.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour on the Elise Klink Show. Thanks for joining us today. 404-872-0750 is our number. You can always email me or tweet me during the show. I'm on Twitter, where a couple more people have followed me. I'm nearing another big milestone in Twitter for number of followers. So if you haven't followed me already, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, go there and sign up. Be great to start March with over 4,000 followers. Be very fun. Online all the time, the website, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Check out the Equifax Finance blog. All the cool stuff we're doing with Ecredible. We've got Ecredible's kind of interesting. I'll talk about them in a little bit. And then, of course, Money Watch over at CBS News, where we've got this week coming up, Thursday, they're going to release the Realty Track foreclosure report, where it looks like maybe we're seeing more banks do short sales, which would be a really good move from them. Definitely a good move for them. Instead of proceeding all the way to foreclosure. You know, this idea that banks were going to just, I don't know, they were just going to, you know, force people to get more money. It was like blood from a stone. And then they were left with foreclosures and they ended up selling these foreclosures for just, you know, pennies in the dollar. Just awful. And so instead, what we're seeing is, you know, maybe banks starting to get a little bit more reasonable with short sales, which I think is going to be good for everybody. I want to turn your attention to tax season. We're almost in March, which means that tax filing day is just about 2 months away, a little bit less, 7 weeks. And this year, you don't just have until April 15th. You have until April 18th for ridiculous reasons we don't need to go into. But the point is that you've got absolutely fantastic tools, free tax tools that are available for you. Most people are going to be able to take advantage of them. And my good friend Linda Stern, who blogs about money for Reuters, wrote a terrific rundown of all the free resources that you can have. I'll try to find it and tweet it out. So if you follow me on Twitter, you'll hopefully be able to find it. We'll find this link for you. But start with the IRS, right? Because if you go to tinyurl.com/free tax return, there is a rundown of the programs that the IRS runs to assist taxpayers. For example, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistant, VITA, is for taxpayers with $50,000 or less in adjusted gross income. Trained volunteers staff desks in community centers, libraries, shopping malls. They'll answer your questions, fill out your forms, and Linda says they will even throw in free electronic filing. You can also call this number, 800-906-9887, for VITA, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. Great program. I have volunteered it myself, where I've gone and just helped out a little bit. I've also done news stories for WGN on it over the years. Great program. But there's something else. What if you just want to do your taxes yourself and you want to get a few questions answered? There's the IRS runs a bunch of websites that help with what they call facilitated self-assistance. So you're doing it yourself, but they're going to help you as well. tinyurl.com/self-assistance. What about e-filing? E-filing, if you earn $57,000 or less, is available for free. irs.gov/e-file. If you just go to the IRS site, there's e-file. It's all over the homepage. No problem there. If you earn more from that, more than $57,000, and that's as a family, you can go to the same website and download the agency's own fillable forms to do your taxes and file electronically. They're going to use the math. They're not going to tell you what forms. They're not going to post data back and forth. But still, free, looks good. AARP Foundation has a tax aid program aimed at taxpayers over 60, right? And you can go there as well to get information. United Way offers free local tax preparation for people earning less than $49,000 a year. The Mexican American Opportunity Foundation, a Latino-serving social service agency, offers free tax prep for taxpayers earning less than $38,000. Now, what about the big tax companies? Like, I always file through TurboTax, and I've been doing it for, say, well, I should say, I have not been doing it. Sam has been doing it for us for a really long, I don't know, 15, 18, 20 years. But the big companies do offer free tax prep and free electronic filing for all simple returns or returns below a certain level. And you want to check out several because each has different rules about what it would provide for free. But Tax Act seems to have, Linda says, the most full-featured free product because it has schedules for small businesses and capital gains. TurboTax has free tax prep, live advice, and electronic filing to all taxpayers, but not all forms are included. Usually federal is, but state isn't. You got to pay for the state. H&R Block offers its own software and online filing options for simple returns. And there are a couple of others like Complete Tax, Jackson Hewitt, Tax Slayer, and they offer at least some version of their product for free. So lots of great options if you are filing for taxes. Now is the time to start thinking about it, folks. Absolutely. So I'm going to look for Linda's story. If I can't find Linda's story online, what I'm going to do is publish some of these URLs that she has in there and give her credit for it, and then you'll be able to find those as well on today's blog. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the show, or I should say to the calls. 13 minutes past the hour, Dennis joins us on the line from Dallas. Hi, Dennis.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
It's a pleasure. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm 9 years into an FHA mortgage, and I want to take advantage of the low interest rates. But I don't think I have enough cash on hand or value in the house to do a conventional mortgage.
Okay.
So I've talked to my lender about a streamline, and they say their rules prevent them from doing any other terms other than taking me back to 30 years. And to me, that just seems like a step backward for me.
It is a step backward because you're like a third done with paying it out.
Exactly. So I spoke with another large, major national bank, and they said their rules were the same thing. But I thought the government was allowing them to do shorter terms, and those rules had changed.
Okay. So if you look on HUD.gov, and it talks about streamline your FHA mortgage, and it said that FHA has permitted streamline refinances on insured mortgage since the early 1980s. And the streamline refers to the amount of documentation and underwriting that needs to be performed. There are costs, right? So the basic requirements are that the mortgage has to be an FHA-insured loan. Yours is. The mortgage to be financed, refinanced needs to be current, which yours is.
Yes.
The refinance is to result in a lowering of the borrower's monthly principal and interest payments. And no cash may be taken out of mortgages using the refinance streamline process.
Okay.
Now, some lenders offer no-cost refinances, right? So no out-of-pocket costs to you, but they charge a higher rate of interest on the new loan.
Okay.
Okay, so that's part of what they may do. They also may be able to offer streamlined refinances that include the closing costs onto the new mortgage amount. And that can only be done if there's sufficient equity in the process. Okay?
Okay.
So you can start with your own lender, but there are other lenders as well. And if you go to HUD.gov, there's a portal for it. And I can put this on Twitter if you want this link. You can actually find other lenders as well. But whether they're going to do a 15-year loan for you, they probably won't. But that doesn't actually matter because even if it's a 30-year loan, if you just want to pay off your loan in, say, 20 years, you can just adjust how much you send in each month.
Well, that was a point that the lender made. Take the excess cash that you're getting from lowering the payment and send it into the principal.
Right.
But I have two young kids. I have a refrigerator. I have a washing machine. I was afraid life's things would take that money, and I wouldn't be able to send it in every month.
Well, that's about, okay, well, that is not about the lender. That's about you being in control of your budget.
Exactly.
So if you know that you're going to pay $1,000 a month versus $1,300 a month, you have to have the discipline to take the $300 a month and stick it somewhere or just write the check at the same time.
Yeah, I understand that.
So it's the same amount. I mean, then you're not really gaining or losing anything.
Right.
But if you can, what's your interest rate right now?
6.5.
Okay, and what can you lower it to?
They offered me two proposals, one at 3.875 and the other at 4.
Okay, and what was the difference between the two?
PMI and what have you. I forget the exact details on that.
Okay. Well, it's gotten pretty expensive unless you have 20% in the property. So there is definitely a cost, and we were talking about this earlier, that FHA has boosted all of its costs. And that they may not charge you that again simply because you're streamlined refinancing.
I know this is, which I know you know this, no appraisal, no, none of that.
Yeah, so that's
those costs
really,
are not included.
Yeah, that's, so that's great.
But,
excellent. So if you can get to 3.875%, what's the savings for you each month?
Like $250 a month over what I pay now.
Okay. So do you need the extra $250 a month or not really?
I wouldn't really need it every month. Like I say, just when things might come up, things might happen. That's what I was concerned about.
So my suggestion to you is you take the $250 a month, and you just, when you make your payment, you take another payment, and you just say prepay towards interest, prepay towards principal. And you take another check, and you write it, or however you're doing that.
Right.
And I would just do it every month religiously. So you're not really changing what your outflow is. And if something comes up and you absolutely need that money, it's, you know, you can just stop making those payments. But if you want to get this loan paid off in 20 years or 18 years or 15 years, you're in the control of that, not anybody else.
I understand that. Just one more quick question.
Sure.
The portal on the HUD website to the other lenders, are these lenders reputable lenders?
Yes.
People I might have heard of?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
They're all the big lenders. HUD, you know, works with some very small lenders, but they work with huge, you know, all the really big lenders. There's probably 40 or 50 lenders. I'm sure you've heard of most of them.
Okay. And credit unions, what do they do? Do they do well with mortgages or refinancing? Or
I think credit unions are fantastic, but you have to find one that's willing to do a streamlined refinance with the FHA. So you should definitely shop around and see. But
well,
I think you're...
You've answered my question, and I really appreciate your time.
You are more than welcome, Dennis. Thanks for listening to the show. 19 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So I was looking again at these tax details and all these. There's just so many resources for you. So I'm going to start tweeting them out, and we will, when we come back, and I'll also put them up in a blog post today, so you have those as well. And when we come back, there's a couple of other tax issues I definitely want to cover. And, of course, we're going to take more of your calls next on the Elyse Glink Show. So stay tuned to AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
24 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elyse Glink. I found that story by Linda Stern on free tax help. I just tweeted it out. I will tweet it out again in a little while as well. So if you're not following me on Twitter, you're going to miss out on all this free tax help. I am at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, and thanks to the 15 people who have just followed me. Really appreciate it. Would love to hear from you during the show as well. 404-872-0750. Jeff joins us on the line from Johns Creek. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. How are you, Elyse?
I'm fine. What's your question today?
Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I actually bought a house in 2005. And that time, the value was about $365.
Mm-hmm.
And I put in 5% down, and then the 80 and 15 loan.
Yep.
Right now, the house value is about $310, give or take $10K up or down.
Okay.
And the 80%, actually, the balance is about $248. And it's a 5 1/2 arm, and right now the interest is about 3.375.
Mm-hmm.
The 15%, which is current balance, is about $42K, and the interest is about 6.5. And that's a 30-year fix to be paid in 15. I was trying to find an option where I can refinance and club the two together. You know, so I was wondering if the HARP 2 or any other program under which I can actually go, and I have never missed a payment at all on any of the loans since the day I have the loan.
It sounds like you might not be underwater, but you might only have about 4 or 5% in the loan. Is that right?
That would be accurate.
Okay. Do you have any cash that you can bring with you to the table?
That would depend how much are we looking at.
I don't know. Well, obviously, do you have enough to have 20% down? So
that would be a little tough.
A little tough. Can you pay off the $42,000?
No, not at this minute, no.
Okay. Do you have $10,000 or $20,000?
Yeah, I can probably work on that one and count that.
Okay. So now we have sort of a range. If you have $20,000 to put down at this, right, it's another 8%, right? Because 10% would be... if the value of the house is $310,
right.
The value, you know, what you'd want to do is have at least 20%. So you're looking at $62,000, so about $248,000. If you could just get even 10%, that would be a good thing. And so
okay.
It sounds like $20,000 would probably get you across the line there, or
okay.
close to it.
Okay.
But anyway, what you might want to do is if you could do a 10% down or even a 7% down, maybe even 5%, you can go to a lender, just a conventional lender, and see what they could do for you.
Okay.
But in addition to that, if you can't, you can always go to FHA and do an FHA loan that would probably be able to put those two together for you with at least 3.5 to 4% down. And so you'd be able to get that kind of a loan instead. So I think what you probably want to do is start shopping around and asking the question, how much cash do I have to bring to the table for the optimal loan? And then start to look at your finances and figure out where you're going to get that cash from. Because you're already in a positive shape. You just want to be in a little bit more positive shape equity-wise to be able to optimize the loan. Thanks for your call. 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink. We'll be back with more in a flash on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back to the Elise Klink Show. So glad you could join us here today on News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. So I was just, done. I just am tweeting out, I found that link for the HUD Streamline Refinance page at HUD.gov, and I've just put that out on Twitter. And thank you so much for everybody who's been following me today. Hopefully these links will help you, and I know it's just a great way to get you information. If you're not following me already, we're on a push to get me over 4,000 by March 1st. We just think that it's just another milestone, folks. So happy to have everybody following me. If you're not following me already on Twitter, at GLINK, we tweet out a lot. We have a lot of news stories every single day. Doing a lot of really interesting things in the ThinkLink community. Twitter is probably the best place, even beyond our Facebook fan page where we have more opportunity for discussion, and even better than ThinkLink.com. But the Twitter feed is exactly that. It's a news feed of everything going on in our community. And if you want to stay in touch and get great information, that's where to go. 404-872-0750. Penny joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, Penny.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. What's new in your world?
Oh, I'm just trying to refinance.
Like everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, how can I help make that happen for you?
Well, I've gotten a quote from my current lender, and basically I would be refinancing under the HARP program because it is a Fannie Mae-backed loan.
Uh-huh.
And my question is my rate, can I shop around for my rate, basically?
Well, what's the rate? The rate is never going to be like 3.95% under HARP.
Okay.
What did they give you, about 4.5?
4.8.
4.8?
Mm-hmm.
Still an amazing rate. What are you at right now?
6.8.
4.8 is a lot better than 6.8. You can shop it around, but I'm not sure you're going to do any better.
Okay. That was basically my question, yeah.
Yeah, but don't just take my word for it. I would call a credit union and see.
Okay.
What are they doing with you on interest rates? I mean, not interest rates, on fees.
The fees were somewhere around $5,000.
Okay.
So does that seem reasonable too? I guess because I had gotten a kind of an estimate from another lender that said, you know, they could do 4% with no PMI.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought I would have to definitely continue to carry PMI, especially being, you know, well over the value of the home.
Well, did you call that lender?
He said I had to wait to speak to him until March the 1st when the HARP 2.0 came out.
Okay, well, I think you should wait until Thursday and speak to him. What I'm hearing about HARP, first of all, without the HARP program, the Home Affordable Refinance Program, you wouldn't be able to refinance at all.
Absolutely.
So you know, the fact that you can go from 6.8% to 4.8%, while it's not 3.9%, is still pretty amazing.
Correct.
And that's a great rate. And how much is that going to save you each month?
About $175.
Nice. I'm sure you can find other things to do with that.
Yes.
one thing you might want to do is just prepay down the balance of the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you can certainly wait and see if you can get 4%, which would be any better. The closing costs do not sound extreme. It seems somewhat reasonable. And unfortunately, it's just what you're sort of stuck with because you don't have equity in the property.
Right. Okay, great. That was basically my question for you.
All right, Penny, let me know what happens, and good luck to you. 40 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Terry joins us on the line from Noonan. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, about a year and a half ago, I tried to get a refinance with my bank and get a lower rate, and which they could do. But there would be fees involved, and that would be worked into the refinance. And I decided not to do it at that time, and I called yesterday to see about refinancing my home again, and they said, sure, there'd be no fees involved. And I could get a three, I don't have my paperwork with me, but it would be, I think it was like 3.175, I think. And no money at all, and it was just that easy.
And is that, okay,
and
so
for
is that
15-year.
15-year, okay.
Yeah.
So you have equity in your property.
Yeah.
And you're going for a 15-year,
mm-hmm.
and rates have really dropped down from 18 months ago.
Right.
So you just, like, kind of lucked out. And as far as no fees, that just tells me that if you went somewhere else and shopped it around and paid fees, you might even get 2.9% on a 15-year. I don't necessarily think you should. I think 3.175 and no fees involved, no out-of-pocket, that's a done deal in my book.
Yeah.
So I would pursue it. Sounds great.
Oh, okay, because I've just been listening to these, you know, stories about all kinds of fees, and it's like, why did I get no fees? You know, it was just that easy. One phone call, and that was it.
Well, you may have. Honestly, some days I think it's just the day, right? The moon is blue. It's a Wednesday, and they liked your last name. Yeah, I don't know why you didn't get any fees, but it could have to do with the fact that, you know, you've got equity in the property, and a lot of these other people don't. It could be that you're going for a 15-year. And that they really want your business.
Well,
all of those things are possibilities. It could also be that you just lucked into a program that not that other many many other people are getting access to.
Okay.
So don't
look at
gift horse in the mouth just to make sure it's real. But if it's real and your deal is not so wildly unusual that it strikes me as not being real, mm-hmm. the bank has to spend hundreds of dollars to find a new customer like you.
Well, I'm not a new, you know, that's the mortgage company I've been dealing with.
But that's my point. If they went out to try to replace you as a customer, they have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Keeping you is a lot cheaper.
Oh.
So there's that as well.
All right.
So
okay,
go forth and conquer.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Terry. Thanks for calling the show. 43 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Linda joins us on the line from Loganville. Hi, Linda.
Hi there.
What's going on today?
Just have a quick question. It's my understanding March the 17th, there's a new program for the homeowners that are underwater. Do you know anything about that?
No, I mean, you have to be a little bit more specific. The HARP 2.0 is coming out in March for people who are dramatically underwater. But I haven't heard of yet another new program for, you know, there were a whole bunch of announcements a couple of weeks ago. But I can't say that I know specifically which particular program and whether or not it's going to start. Can you give me anything more to go on?
No, I was just speaking to someone the other day.
Linda, you still there? Well, Linda's, I don't know. Linda, call back. It sounds like you dropped off there. 44 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Ken joins us on the line all the way from Michigan. Hi, Ken.
Hi.
How are you?
Real good.
Excellent. What's going on?
My dad went into assisted living about 10 months ago.
And
he has a substantial estate at the time, at the current time, but depending on how long he lives, since his blood pressure is perfect, he's getting dementia, but I have power of attorney, and my sisters are suggesting I sell the family house. And I was trying to think of how to structure it, so if at some point in time, if he lives a substantial number of years, how am I going to preserve his estate in order to, let's say, go to state for some sort of benefits for him or the federal government?
Well,
so
okay,
doing a land contract versus getting a mortgage and putting it right into the estate and make it accessible to be paid for his care.
Okay, so first of all, if you sell, and I am not an elder care attorney.
Okay.
So I just want to be really clear about that. I'm not an elder care attorney. here's the thing. If you are trying to preserve the estate for you and your siblings,
correct,
that probably isn't going to work out so well if he lives a long period of time, because those assets are there to pay for him to get the kind of care that he needs as he goes into the sunset of his life.
No, I'm not concerned about that part of it at all.
Okay, what are you concerned
about? I know
that
part's completely accessible to pay for his care. My only question is on the homestead.
Well,
if the house gets sold on a land contract versus a mortgage where let's say, a couple hundred thousand immediately goes into his potential for paying for that care, versus putting it on a land contract where that money is not available to him except on a monthly stipend basis.
What would be the benefit? What are you trying to do there?
I'm trying to make sure that if his estate gets depleted, that it doesn't also take a house with it.
Okay, and he's not living in the house, right?
Correct.
So what's the concern about the house?
The only concern is whether to go mortgage versus land contract. I'm thinking I have a tax background, mainly corporate. But I'm saying my view is that if somebody takes out a mortgage and gives him $200,000 for the homestead, that money is immediately visible and accessible for his care, which I'm not saying is a problem. But if it goes under a land contract and he only gets $10,000 up front and $190,000 land contract, that money is not available outside of the monthly payment of, let's say, $1,000 or $2,000, that is not available that is available only up to that amount for his care.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. My point to you is, I totally understand what you're saying, Ken. What I'm suggesting is you're trying to preserve the estate for you and your siblings. That's what it sounds like. And what I'm saying to you is that the government, if he ends up on Medicaid because all the rest of his resources are depleted, can go back 5 years and unwind transactions that they feel may have been done in order to evade and keep assets out of Medicare or Medicaid. Right. So what I'm saying to you is, and I'm going to just say this, I think you need to talk to an elder care and estate attorney who can take what your idea is and decide whether it's going to achieve whatever goals that you have. Because I'm really a little bit confused on the goals that you have.
The 5 years is no problem. I'm worried about after the 5 years because the care is $50,000 a year. So I'm saying in 5 years, that's going to eat up $250,000. Then after that, let's say it gets into it gets down to the house or other assets. Well, you have an asset either of a land contract or you have an asset of $200,000.
Ken, I totally understand your choice, but I can't answer the question. I'm not qualified.
Okay. That's fine.
I'm suggesting that you're going to want to talk to an estate attorney and probably also an elder care attorney who can help you understand what your question of land contract versus cash up front and what the rest of the assets look like and how those assets are going to be used to pay for your father's treatment over the next 10 or 20 years, how that's all going to unfold, and what that means in terms of what's left for you and your siblings. I just simply can't answer the question. 404-872-0750. It is 50 minutes past the hour. Be sure to check out today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution for some great information. They're looking at an investigative report, or they published today an investigative report that examines proposed legislation aimed to reshape Georgia's approach to criminal sentences and the state's $1 billion prison budget. 10 before the hour, AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Link. Thanks for joining us today. So you've heard me talk about what a great time it is to buy a home or refinance a home. Everything's on sale. Property prices in Atlanta have fallen so low. Rates, mortgage interest rates, unbelievably low. And I've heard from so many of you who are worried that your credit is going to keep you from taking advantage of this incredible market opportunity. But the good news is if you've been paying your bills on time, you might actually qualify right now for a mortgage loan with Churchill Mortgage. And they've been doing manual underwriting for years, where it isn't just that they're pulling FICO scores and all the rest. They're actually looking at what bills you're paying and what that says about your credit. And they've been doing this for years, and now there's a new company that makes it even easier to know if you can qualify with Churchill Mortgage. The company's eCredible. You've heard Steve Ely, who's the CEO on the show, talking about how eCredible can help you prove you're a good-paying customer simply by verifying the bills that you pay every month. Bills like rent, utilities, your cell phone payments, your insurance premiums, car loan, all of that is verified by eCredible. They create a credit report and a credit rating for you, and as long as you earn an A or a B, you can take this to Churchill Mortgage and get started on your mortgage application. So quit standing on the sidelines because you don't think you can qualify. Go to eCredible.com/glink, G-L-I-N-K, and enter the promo code GLINK, G-L-I-N-K, to get a 40% discount on the membership fee. It's a limited time offer. Sign up today. We want to make this incredibly available to those who need it because these mortgage interest rates aren't going to be around forever. You want to take advantage of them just as soon as possible. So go to eCredible.com/GLINK, G-L-I-N-K, enter the promo code GLINK, G-L-I-N-K, and get a 40% discount on the membership fee. 404-872-0750. It is 57 minutes past the hour. Let's just see if we can take a very quick call from Eric. Welcome to the program, Eric. We just have a minute. How can I help?
Hi, Elise. So I'll be real quick. I have a house that I purchased in 2006, and we've since relocated. We have another primary residence, but we've kept the house as a rental property. And we've done pretty well keeping it rented for all these years, but it's on an adjustable rate mortgage, and I'm trying to get it refinanced into a fixed rate mortgage. However, I'm getting a lot of resistance from the banks, and I'm trying to see if you have any suggestions of who I can go to try and get that refinanced as an investment property instead of a primary residence.
Is there equity in the property?
There is. It's down. I think it's got a value of about $130,000, and we owe about $119,000 on it right now.
Okay. So if yeah, you've got some cash that you can go to the closing with, because lenders want to see like 20 to 30% equity in rental properties,
Right. Then
you ought to be able to do it. If not, what you ought to work on, because mortgage interest rates are going to stay incredibly low over the next few years, what you should work on is just paying down over the next year as fast as possible the principal so that you can actually have that kind of jam-packed equity. But if you have some cash, go to a lender and say, I have this property. I want to refinance it. What can you do for me, and how much money do I have to bring to the closing to make this work out? And I'm sure they will tell you. 58 minutes past the hour, folks. Here's the music. Our time is up. I hope you guys have a great and profitable week. I'll be back again next Sunday here on News Talk WSB. Adam Goldfein is next. Have a great week.